Prosecutors and defense lawyers for Senator Ted Stevens presented their opening arguments in U.S. District Court today as the judge reminded the panel of 12 jurors and four alternates. The opening statements are a roadmap of where the lawyers hope to go, not actual evidence of innocence or wrongdoing. But listening to the two sides paint their versions of the case gave two very different pictures of Ted Stevens. From Washington, APRN's Libby Casey reports.
Government lawyers prosecuting Senator Ted Stevens say he schemed to take gifts worth more than $250,000 and hid it from the public eye. But Stevens' lawyers say he did not intentionally violate the law and described him as an honest and loyal Alaskan who's dedicated his life to service. Opening statements are lawyers' chance to prepare jurors for what's to come in the weeks ahead. Prosecutor Brenda Morris hammered a message that Stevens knowingly and repeatedly concealed gifts. She said he was well aware of Senate rules that say members must disclose any gifts worth around $300. But he hid them, Morris said, to keep the benefits flowing and to keep public attention away from his benefactor, oil field services company Vico. Morris said at the same time the gifts were coming, Stevens was using his power as a senator to help Vico make more money. She says much of the trial will be about Stevens' Girdwood home, which was renovated in 2000. Morris says Stevens used Vico to manage the renovation instead of hiring a contractor and had the company do a variety of work, from designing the project to taking care of details. She said the senator never paid Vico anything for that work. Morris told the jurors, quote, "We reached for the yellow pages and he reached for Vico." But when it was Stevens' lawyer's turn to talk, Brendan Sullivan showed the jury a very different man. He asked why in his 75th year of life would Alaska's senior senator decide to become a criminal. Sullivan dropped names of people who would vouch for Stevens' character, Senators Ted Kennedy, Daniel Inouye, and Orrin Hatch. He said it was Stevens' wife, Catherine, who handled the finances surrounding the Girdwood home. She paid the bills and had the vision for what the house should look like. Sullivan said he felt some discomfort about the fact that during the trial, he and the jurors would have to look at the relationship of the couple, but he said it's necessary to understand the situation. Sullivan said what happened with the remodel is, quote, "a strange story," and he blamed any problems with unpaid bills on Vico CEO Bill Allen, who he called devious. Allen was a friend of Stevens. He was once a respected businessman in Alaska, but in 2007 pleaded guilty to bribing state lawmakers. Sullivan said Stevens and his wife did ask Allen to oversee the renovation as a friend and review the bills. That's because the Stevens couple lives more than 3,000 miles away from Girdwood in Washington and rarely make it home. Sullivan said that at first, a contractor Bill Allen found to work on the house sent bills out and Catherine Stevens paid them. But then the lawyer said, quote, "something extraordinary happens. The bills stop coming because of Bill Allen." Sullivan said Allen pressured the contractor to eat a cost of $19,000. He said the Stevens couple never knew there were unpaid bills. The lawyer said Allen let the cost soar over budget and threw in additional things that Ted and Catherine Stevens didn't want. Government prosecutors allege that Stevens took numerous gifts, like roof heating tape and a gas grill. But Stevens' lawyer had an explanation for each of them. The heating tape was installed by Allen to fix a design flaw in the construction. The couple wasn't billed because it was a repair for something not done properly in the first place. As far as the gas grill, Stevens never wanted it, and Catherine was afraid of it, so they kept it padlocked shut and unused. Sullivan said Stevens told Bill Allen that it could stay on the deck only for Allen's use when he came over, not for Stevens. And the lawyer said if ever Stevens did push to help Vico as a senator, it's something he's proud of because Vico is one of Alaska's largest employers, and anything done for them was really done for Alaskans. Stevens' lawyer finished by asking jurors to, quote, "free him of this burden and send him right out the door." Prosecutors, though, don't buy the notion that Stevens was the victim of Bill Allen's schemes or that his wife took care of all the renovation paperwork. Prosecutor Brenda Morris told the jurors, all residents of Washington, that, quote, "you do not survive as a politician in this town that long without being very, very smart and flying under the radar." She said Stevens' friends were, quote, "old school and protected the senator and were used to doing him favors." Stevens sat listening during opening arguments. His face was stony, and he frowned as the prosecutor talked. When she was done and the court took a brief break, Stevens hugged his daughter on the way out of the room. After opening statements, the prosecution immediately called its first witness, John Hess, a Vigo employee who designed the renovation to the Girdwood home. He had a letter from Stevens saying that he appreciated the work Hess had done and that he wanted a bill. Stevens wrote, quote, "As I told you, under our Senate rules, I must pay you for what you have done." But Hess says he wrote back to Stevens, either by letter or fax, he couldn't remember, and told the senator that he should talk to Vigo about paying the bill. The second witness was Derek Awad, who also worked for Vigo and installed a generator at the Stevens home. The men are the first in a handful of witnesses who will testify about work done by Vigo at the Girdwood house. The question for jurors will be whether Stevens avoided paying for the work or whether Bill Allen prevented the senator from knowing what was going on back in Girdwood. In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.